of green. Red roses too.
This is Global Radio Talk Show. My name is Ed Cohen. I'm your host. I am the editor of globalhrnews.com and managing director of Global HR Business Solutions. Our guest today is Sarah Hill from Ceridian. Let's welcome Sarah Hill.
Hi, Ed.
Thank you for your time.
Sure, happy to.
Buzzwords, employer branding, internal and external, engagement. How does that really work? What's your take on it?
Internal branding really is much like external branding, right? It's a key statement that captures an idea. It's compelling. It talks about values. It talks about your purpose. And it's really an organizing principle about how you do things, whether it's a product that you're marketing or for that matter, it's your value proposition as an organization and how you attract talent and how you retain talent. So I look at internal branding and employee engagement and I guess what you would call a yin and yang sort of relationship, right? One feeds the other and back and forth. And just like an external brand, an internal brand is something that's going to create loyalty and commitment, and therefore it's really about engagement, because what we want to all do in our organizations is drive employee engagement. And why do we want to do that? Higher employee engagement means that you're going to have happier customers and consumers, and you're going to drive your business.
Innovation, is that right?
I think that is any company that has highly, highly engaged employees actually has an internal brand. So perhaps it is sort of a buzzword, if you will. But I think that if you have high internal employee engagement, I think that you have an internal brand, whether or not you've articulated it, because people come to work. They actually have a sort of a collective experience about why they come to work and why it's really cool to work at this company. And then your internal brand takes it to the next level and articulates that as a brand and says, this is the kind of company we are and this is why you want to work for us.
Okay, let's get into internal branding and engagement. Are they linked?
So Towers Watson did a report recently, it was done in 2013, that talked about the top drivers of engagement. So the number two top driver of employee engagement is an organization's brand or image behind career opportunity and recognition. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal for organizations. So people need to have that perception out there in the communities where they operate and live. What is employee engagement? Employee engagement is people providing their effort, their commitment, their all to a company, to an organization. And that's what we all want for organizations. Both as an employee, I want to be fully committed to my organization. And as an employer, I want my employees to be fully committed, provide all that discretionary effort, et cetera. And I think the internal branding piece is what's going to help bring it all together, right? It's going to be the package that says, this is why it's so great to work here, and this is why I want to work here. And it's going to be a great platform for multiple vehicles that you have, whether it's, you know, recruiting talent, retaining talent, developing talent, no matter what, how you package it, whether it's employee benefit programs. Your internal branding is something that's going to be descriptive of what's different about you as a company.
EVP, Employee Value Proposition.
Yeah, I use internal branding and employee value proposition, I guess, interchangeably. I don't know, maybe people have other nuances to it, but I use them interchangeably. I think that the brand, you know, it's just an articulation of the brand or the values that your company stands for. So I think they're the same thing.
Well, with the economy improving, there's a lot of M&A activity, right? Merger and acquisition. Post-M&A, there's integration issues. Do you get involved in that? How does Ceridian enter that?
Yes, let me use perhaps Ceridian as the example here. So Ceridian has this wonderful technology called Dayforce. It's the human capital cloud-based technology, payroll benefits, etc. Ceridian acquired Dayforce as a smaller sort of entrepreneurial technology firm, and this was done in early 2012. Ceridian had been a company that's been around for decades. For, I don't know if you know this, but it's been around for decades. It's been providing payroll services and lots of other services to employers for a long time. So Ceridian acquired Dayforce. Dayforce, at the time, had under probably 200 employees, very entrepreneurial, high-tech, based out of Toronto. Ceridian is a global company, a lot in North America, Canada, the United States. And when we acquired that company, both the missions of the organizations were a little bit different, as well as the employee population. If you think about a sort of a startup, our entrepreneurial technology firm, a lot of developers, and worked in a fast-paced environment and had a different set of sort of values and ways that they operated. And Ceridian, the traditional Ceridian, had also had its own unique identifiers. So when Dayforce came on board, you know, we've gone through struggles just like other companies have through an acquisition. There's always a certain amount of chaos, and there's always a certain amount of storming that happens with an acquisition. But I think what we're doing right now is we're saying, what are the commonalities? And that's where actually I bring this back to internal branding, is what do we have? Why is it so great to work here, period? Doesn't matter if you're a millennial generation and you work in this group versus somebody who's worked at Ceridian for 30 years, but what do we have in common? Why do we come to work every day, and what do we love about this company? So that's what we're focused on at Ceridian, is what are the key values that we all hold and what drives us forward as one company. But it certainly is a disruptor to, you know, anytime you bring a new member of the team, remember, you got to start the whole dynamic all over again.
Okay, going deeper in post-M&A activity and the integration of cultures and staffs and operations, can you further explain?
Well, you know, I watched this, you know, this culture question, right? And I got asked this question a lot about how are you going to bring these cultures together? And I go back, I watched this Harvard Business School webinar recently that was fascinating, and I think Siemens was one of the main guests. And this executive, the female executive, was asked, as she traveled the globe, how are you going to bring all these cultures together? How are you going to do it? And she said, you know, I don't think we need to do that. I think we need to respect people's legacies and their heritages and where they came from and what's unique and distinct about different geographies and different functions and different peoples, what have you. What we need to do is focus on what is common and why do we all come to work. So she went around and asked, you know, all these different countries and offices and said, you know, why do you come to work? And pretty much their answers were the same, is what do they love about Siemens and what do they love about the opportunities at Siemens? So to answer your question, there's certainly going to be those differences, and I think you used the word personality, and I think we've got to respect it and say that's just a dynamic organization, and what is it that we all have in common, and let's focus on some of that and driving some of the commonalities.
So the role of cultural differences, is it a problem? Can it be done right?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem if it's done right, right? I mean, that's the world we live in today. There's diversity all over the place, and we want diversity and inclusion. So I don't think it's an issue as long as we all know why we're here and what we're all working towards.
Let's talk about employee recruitment, retention. Onboarding is a big deal, isn't it? Could you get into that?
Sure, good place to start. So onboarding is essentially the candidate and new employee experience with an organization. So a lot of organizations have a one-day onboarding program, which I'm really excited. We're actually in the middle of developing and redesigning our onboarding program right now, which is the one day. But it's actually the cycle that starts from the moment that you're attracting candidates, so your brand out there in the marketplace, and then so that's the onboarding of, okay, I want to work here, all the way through to, you know, whether it's the first 3 to 6 months. That's the whole experience of how do you bring them along, how do you integrate people into the culture, how do you integrate people into the work that they do, how do they get to know their peers and their managers, how do they get the tools that they need to do their jobs, etc. And I want to quote one factoid for you, though, that I think is really fascinating, is that I think it was the Aberdeen Consulting Group said 90% of employees make their decision to stay at a company in their first 6 months. So the vast majority of employees decide if they're going to stay or not during those first 6 months, and that's why onboarding is really, really important, and that's why your brand and how you enculturate that person to the brand and to the organization is really important.
So is it doable in 6 months or less, or do you think 100 days is sufficient?
Oh, I think the longer is better, right? It has to do with how does it look, right? So is onboarding a corporate-wide program, right? Because that takes a fair amount of investment, and large organizations do that really, really well. Smaller, more, you know, flexible, nimble, dynamic organizations probably need to put a lot more on the manager-employee relationship. But onboarding can take as long as 6 to 9 months.
Well, let's talk about black swan events, in other words, the unknown happening and impacting the company, impacting key people, and therefore impacting the company, and the role of culture. Would you agree that if you have a strong culture and a strong engagement ongoing, there is a bigger resistance to impact?
I absolutely believe that. And if you look at the companies out there who probably have strong external brand as well as strong internal brand, they're able to weather the storms better. So some of the recent, pick something that's happened in the marketplace, some unknown external force or catastrophe, those organizations that have that that strong bond, we'll move along. And I think of, this is actually an old example, but think of the Tylenol and the J&J experience, and gosh, that was decades ago, but that experience, you know, and taking responsibility for, you know, having to do the recall of Tylenol and bring it back, and taking responsibility, that's probably part of their values and part of their internal employee brand. And I bet you employees felt pretty good living through that experience. If not good, felt better than if they didn't have that strong identification with their values and taking responsibility and having that strong employee brand.
So Ridian is a global company, so is this stuff applicable in other cultures, other countries?
Yeah, so I think it's about finding ways of how you do it, right? So depending, no matter what kind of a company you are, so engagement to an organization in the Middle East might look a little bit different, and it might look like you articulate it a little bit differently. I think it's just all depends on how you do it, right? So an Apple or some organization like that is going to do it probably in a far different way than a very, very traditional organization that's manufacturing in India or something like that, right? It's just going to be done differently and articulated differently in a way that's appropriate for that culture and respectful of that culture.
Looking ahead to 2014.
Well, in particular, we are continuing to drive employee engagement, and we are, as I said, bringing these two companies together, Dayforce, and having that be some part of our future, as well as a couple of other key products being the future and reinvigorating. We've also recently realigned. We used to be geographically organized, and now we're realigned to one organization. So we're actually focused on driving the one team to create a better experience for not only our employees but for our customers, and so we have better support and services. So a lot of our work is done around a unified HCM platform and servicing our customers that way, which means, for me, bringing teams together, developing teams. We're doing a lot of work on career pathing. So if you worked in a one area of the organization, how can you get to a different area of the organization? So those are sort of my, you know, at a high level, that's what I'm focused on.
What kind of qualifications is Ceridian looking for in new people to join the team?
So Ceridian is looking for, obviously, highly motivated people. We are a great mix between a very stable company, the Ceridian's been around for a long time, and an entrepreneurial spirit, so you can have the best of both worlds, and that's who we're looking for, is people who have that drive, but also like to have some of that infrastructure support. We actually like to have people who like to have fun. We like to have people who are really confident in what they do and want to bring a lot to the table. And we are looking for people who certainly want to be community-based, both internally and be a team player within Ceridian, and also be active in the communities where our businesses are and where our customers are.
And outside of business, I see you're active in the community. So this includes being on the board of the museum, is that right?
Yep, and I have little kids, so it's super fun.
So tell me about museum management.
It's interesting because I get to bring a lot of my skills that I have as an HR professional to the museum. So I serve on the governance committee. So I've set up a lot of processes around succession planning. How do you get on the board? How do you develop yourself on the board? How do you get to be serving as a chair of a committee and that kind of stuff? So I've actually brought a fair amount of my. Oh, and I did onboarding. Speaking of onboarding, I did onboarding at the Children's Museum. I set up, you know, a mentorship program if you're new to the board. So I've actually brought a lot of my HR skills to the museum. It's been great.
Thanks very much for being my guest on Global HR Talk Show.
Thanks, Ed. It's been a pleasure.
This is Ed Cohen, your broadcast host of Global HR Talk Radio, globalhrbusiness.com. Thank you, and signing off from Old Town in San Diego.
Yes, I've been